Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the most impactful stories shaping our digital world. Today, March 20th, we look back to 1960, when John McCarthy published his paper on Lisp, a programming language that would become foundational for artificial intelligence research, directly influencing how we understand and build AI today. From those early intellectual roots, we now see AI transforming every sector. Today, we're covering a spectrum of stories, from groundbreaking AI initiatives at OpenAI to critical cybersecurity alerts from CISA and the FBI, along with major moves from tech giants like Meta, Google, and Apple. We'll explore the latest in software, hardware, gadgets, and tech policy, drawing insights from Ars Technica, Hacker News, MIT Technology Review, TechCrunch, and other leading sources to bring you the most essential updates. Joining me today to break it all down is our tech reporter, Arohi. Welcome.
Thanks, it's great to be here. We have a packed agenda, with AI continuing to dominate headlines across various dimensions.
Absolutely. Let's dive right into the biggest player in the AI space. OpenAI is making waves again with a significant strategic shift. What's the latest coming from the firm?
OpenAI is embarking on what they call a new, grand challenge, building a fully automated AI researcher. This isn't just about incrementally improving existing AI models. It's about developing an agent-based system capable of independently tackling large, complex scientific and engineering problems. The vision is for this AI to go off on its own, identify research questions, formulate hypotheses, run experiments, and synthesize findings, much like a human researcher, but at an accelerated pace and scale. It's a fundamental refocusing of their research efforts, throwing substantial resources into creating an AI that can essentially be an independent innovator. This ambitious goal underscores a long-term play to push the boundaries of AI's problem-solving capabilities far beyond current interactive models.
An AI that can research and innovate by itself is certainly a huge leap. And on the topic of OpenAI's expansion, they're also making strategic acquisitions, right?
That's correct. OpenAI is acquiring Astral, a well-known maker of open-source Python tools. Astral has developed popular projects that are widely used by developers, particularly for code quality and performance. This acquisition is significant because it brings talent and established tools directly into OpenAI's ecosystem. While OpenAI is known for its proprietary large language models, its commitment to continue to support these open-source projects after the deal closes signals an integration strategy rather than an absorption. This move could empower the development of their own AI systems, like the automated researcher, by providing robust internal tooling and expertise in Python-based development, which is critical for many AI workflows. It also strengthens their ties with the developer community that relies on these open-source utilities.
Fascinating to see OpenAI not just building from scratch but also acquiring key components. Now, shifting gears slightly to the broader economic impact of AI, we're hearing about massive investments and new market opportunities. Jeff Bezos reportedly has a monumental plan, doesn't he?
He does. Jeff Bezos is reportedly looking to commit a staggering $100 billion to a new project focused on acquiring and transforming old manufacturing firms with AI technology. This isn't just about minor upgrades. It's about a complete overhaul, integrating advanced AI systems into traditional industrial processes to enhance efficiency, automate tasks, and revolutionize production. The idea is to take established, often slower-moving industrial sectors and inject them with cutting-edge AI capabilities, creating a new generation of highly optimized manufacturing giants. This demonstrates a belief in the profound potential of AI to drive economic growth and productivity in sectors far beyond consumer tech.
$100 billion is an astonishing figure, highlighting the scale of ambition for AI's industrial application. And with all this AI development, there's a growing bottleneck to consider, isn't there?
Absolutely. A critical and increasingly discussed issue is the energy demand for AI. Power has become one of the biggest bottlenecks in rolling out new AI data centers. Training and running large AI models consume immense amounts of electricity, putting unprecedented strain on existing power grids and infrastructure. This surging demand for energy is creating a significant opening for investors in energy technology. Companies developing more efficient power solutions, renewable energy sources, and advanced cooling systems for data centers are seeing heightened interest. The consensus is that the best AI investment right now might not be directly in AI software, but rather in the underlying energy tech that enables its existence and expansion. It's a foundational challenge that needs innovative solutions to sustain AI's growth trajectory.
That makes perfect sense. The infrastructure has to keep up with the innovation. Moving from the macro view of AI investment to its more immediate, practical applications in our daily lives, we're seeing a rise in AI-powered gadgets. Tell us about these new AI note-taking devices.
These are physical note-takers designed to seamlessly integrate AI into everyday productivity. They come in various forms, like smart pins or pendants, and their core function is to record audio during meetings or conversations, then leverage AI to transcribe that audio into text. Beyond simple transcription, these devices use AI to provide concise summaries of discussions, identify key action items, and even offer live translation in some cases. The goal is to offload the mental burden of detailed note-taking, allowing users to be more present and engaged in their interactions, while still capturing all critical information in an easily digestible format. They represent a step towards more ambient, intelligent assistance in professional settings.
That sounds incredibly useful for anyone who's ever struggled to keep up during a fast-paced meeting. And speaking of practical AI, even DoorDash is getting into the AI training game, but in a very unique way.
Indeed, DoorDash has launched a new Tasks app that pays its couriers to submit videos to train AI models. This initiative offers couriers an additional way to earn money by completing specific activities, which involve recording themselves performing everyday tasks or even speaking in different languages. The data collected from these videos, ranging from how someone interacts with a delivery bag to their natural speech patterns, is then used to refine and train various AI systems. This crowdsourced approach allows DoorDash to gather diverse and real-world datasets that are crucial for developing more robust and intelligent AI applications, potentially enhancing everything from navigation systems to customer service bots. It's an interesting model for data collection, leveraging their existing workforce for AI development.
It's certainly a creative way to gather real-world data. And speaking of AI for everyday use, particularly in audio, we're seeing advancements in smaller, more efficient models. Tell us about the new Kitten TTS models.
Kitten TTS, or text-to-speech, is an open-source project focused on creating tiny, yet expressive, text-to-speech models specifically designed for on-device applications. They've just released three new models, with the smallest weighing in at less than 25 megabytes. What's remarkable is that this 14-megabyte variant achieves new state-of-the-art expressivity among models of similar size, supporting English text-to-speech in 8 different voices. These models are optimized to run on low-power devices like Raspberry Pis, low-end smartphones, wearables, and even directly in browsers, without requiring a dedicated GPU. The goal is to bridge the gap between powerful cloud-based TTS and practical, efficient on-device solutions, enabling fully on-device voice agents and applications where privacy and real-time performance are paramount. It's a significant step towards democratizing advanced text-to-speech capabilities.
That's impressive, making advanced AI accessible on smaller devices. Now, let's turn our attention to one of the major tech giants, Meta. They're making changes to their content enforcement and are also in the news regarding their VR strategy. What's happening on the content side?
Meta is rolling out new AI-powered content enforcement systems with the aim of significantly improving how they detect and address policy violations across their platforms. They believe these AI systems offer greater accuracy and can detect more violations, which is crucial for tackling issues like misinformation, hate speech, and scams more effectively. A key aspect of this shift is reducing their reliance on third-party vendors for content moderation. By bringing more of this process in-house and empowering it with advanced AI, Meta aims to respond more quickly to real-world events and potentially reduce instances of over-enforcement, where legitimate content might be mistakenly removed. This move represents a strategic effort to enhance the speed, scale, and precision of their content moderation efforts.
And what about Horizon Worlds? It seemed like its future was uncertain.
That's right. After much speculation, Meta has decided not to kill Horizon Worlds, its flagship virtual reality social platform. For a while, there were concerns about its user growth and overall engagement, leading many to believe Meta might discontinue the project. However, the company has opted to keep the VR platform on life support, so to speak, while reiterating its primary focus on mobile VR experiences. This means while Horizon Worlds will continue to exist and receive some development, the more significant investments and strategic attention will be directed towards making VR accessible and engaging on mobile devices, potentially through apps that don't require high-end headsets. It signals a pragmatic approach to their metaverse vision, acknowledging the current market realities and user adoption trends.
So, a renewed, albeit refocused, commitment to VR from Meta. Now, let's move to a crucial area that impacts everyone online, cybersecurity. We've seen a disturbing incident involving a medical tech giant, Stryker. What can you tell us about that?
This is a major concern. The U.S. Cybersecurity Agency, CISA, has issued an urgent warning to companies to secure their Microsoft Intune systems after hackers successfully mass-wiped devices belonging to the medical tech giant, Stryker. Intune is a cloud-based service used by organizations to manage and secure their fleets of employee devices remotely, including phones and computers. The attackers exploited vulnerabilities, or perhaps compromised credentials, to gain access to Stryker's Intune environment, allowing them to remotely wipe thousands of devices. This incident highlights a critical vulnerability in modern enterprise device management and underscores the importance of robust security protocols for remote administration tools, as their compromise can have immediate and devastating operational consequences.
That's a severe breach, causing significant disruption. Have authorities identified the culprits behind this attack?
Yes, they have. The FBI and the Justice Department acted swiftly, taking down two websites linked to a pro-Iranian hacktivist group known as Handala. This group has been identified as responsible for the destructive attack against Stryker last week. The seizure of their websites is a direct response to their cybercriminal activities, aiming to disrupt their operations and send a strong message about the consequences of such attacks. This incident underscores the ongoing threat posed by state-sponsored or state-aligned hacking groups targeting critical infrastructure and major corporations, necessitating vigilant cybersecurity measures and swift law enforcement action.
So, direct action against a specific group. But it seems the threats are broader, with a new tool reportedly capable of hacking millions of iPhones. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. A powerful iPhone hacking technique, dubbed Dark Sword, has been discovered in active use by Russian hackers. This tool is reportedly capable of compromising hundreds of millions of iPhones, representing a significant threat to a vast user base. While specific technical details are often kept under wraps to prevent further exploitation, the discovery of such a sophisticated tool, in the wild, means it's not theoretical. It's being actively used for malicious purposes. This type of threat typically targets vulnerabilities that allow for remote code execution or data exfiltration, raising serious concerns for individual users and organizations relying on Apple's ecosystem for sensitive communications and data. It's a stark reminder that even robust systems like iOS are not immune to determined and well-resourced attackers.
That's a concerning development for iPhone users. And on the enterprise software front, there are new reports of vulnerabilities in Microsoft's Azure.
That's correct. Security researchers have disclosed the discovery of a third and fourth Azure sign-in log bypass. Azure sign-in logs are crucial for security monitoring, providing audit trails of who accesses what, when, and from where. Bypassing these logs means that malicious activity could occur without leaving a detectable trace in the primary security records. This makes it incredibly difficult for organizations to detect unauthorized access, investigate breaches, or even prove compliance. Such bypasses are highly critical because they undermine the fundamental visibility and accountability mechanisms that underpin cloud security, necessitating immediate patching and mitigation strategies from Microsoft and careful monitoring by Azure users.
A busy week in cybersecurity, emphasizing the constant vigilance required. Moving to another tech giant, Google, they're implementing changes to how Android apps can be sideloaded. What's the new process?
Google is detailing a new 24-hour process for sideloading unverified Android apps. This advanced flow is designed to add an extra layer of security before the full enforcement of app verification begins later this year. Essentially, if a user wants to install an app from outside the Google Play Store that hasn't gone through Google's verification process, they will now encounter a specific procedure that introduces a 24-hour waiting period or a more explicit acknowledgement of risk. The intention is to give users time to reconsider or to provide a window for Google's enhanced security checks to flag potentially malicious unverified apps, thus reducing the risk of malware and improving the overall security posture for Android users who choose to install apps from alternative sources.
It sounds like a move to balance user flexibility with security. Now, let's talk about Apple hardware. Running Windows on a MacBook, particularly a newer one with unified memory, has always been a point of interest. What's the update with Parallels and the MacBook Neo?
Despite potential hardware limits, specifically the unified memory architecture of Apple Silicon Macs, Parallels is officially supporting the running of Windows on the new MacBook Neo. The key detail here is that Parallels highlights that 8GB unified memory is the minimum practical configuration. While Apple's unified memory is highly efficient, having less than 8GB can present challenges when running a full virtualized operating system like Windows, impacting performance. However, Parallels support means they've optimized their virtualization software to work effectively with Apple Silicon and its memory management, allowing users to run Windows applications and environments seamlessly, even if some configurations are considered baseline for a smooth experience. It continues to be a crucial solution for users needing both macOS and Windows on a single device.
Good to know that option remains viable for Mac users. Now, looking at the broader cloud industry, there's a significant development regarding Broadcom's acquisition of VMware. What's happening there with the EU regulator?
Cloud service providers are collectively asking the EU regulator to reinstate VMware's previous partner program. This comes after Broadcom's acquisition of VMware, which led to significant changes in VMware's licensing and partner models. Many cloud service providers who previously relied on VMware's virtualization technology under favorable partner terms have found themselves facing altered agreements that they argue are less competitive or sustainable. They contend that Broadcom's new approach is disrupting the market and could lead to increased costs for them and their customers. Broadcom, however, counters that the group is misrepresenting market realities, and that their changes are necessary to streamline operations and ensure profitability. The request to the EU regulator highlights concerns about market consolidation and its potential impact on competition and pricing within the cloud services industry.
A real tug of war there over cloud infrastructure. Moving to the future of the internet, Cloudflare's CEO has made a striking prediction about online bot traffic.
Yes, Cloudflare CEO Matthew Prince predicts that online bot traffic will exceed human traffic by 2027. This is a significant forecast, driven primarily by the rapid proliferation of generative AI agents. As AI models become more sophisticated and widely deployed, they are increasingly generating and interacting with web content, performing tasks that previously required human input or simpler automated scripts. This surge in AI-driven traffic is expected to dramatically increase web traffic volumes and place unprecedented demands on internet infrastructure. It implies a future where a substantial portion of the internet's activity is machine-to-machine, raising questions about data integrity, network capacity, and how we distinguish between human and AI interactions online. It's a fundamental shift in the composition of internet activity.
That's a profound shift in how we understand the internet's user base. And finally, let's touch on a couple of updates from the startup and academic worlds. First, for aspiring entrepreneurs, TechCrunch's Startup Battlefield 200 nominations are still open.
That's right. For startups looking for a significant boost, nominations for the TechCrunch Startup Battlefield 200 are still open until May 27th. This is a highly competitive and prestigious program that offers selected startups a chance to win $100,000 in equity-free funding. Beyond the monetary prize, participants gain invaluable access to top-tier venture capitalists, mentorship, and significant media exposure, often leading to further investment and growth opportunities. It's a critical platform for early-stage companies to gain visibility and establish credibility within the tech ecosystem.
A fantastic opportunity for new ventures. And finally, an important development in the academic world. Archive is declaring independence from Cornell.
This is a significant administrative shift for Archive, the pioneering preprint server that has been instrumental in scholarly communication, particularly in physics, mathematics, computer science, and related fields. For decades, Archive has operated under the stewardship of Cornell University. Its declaration of independence signifies a move towards a more autonomous organizational structure. While it will likely maintain strong ties with the academic community and potentially with Cornell, this shift aims to establish Archive as an independent entity, potentially allowing for greater flexibility in governance, funding models, and strategic direction to better serve the global research community. It reflects a growing trend towards distributed and community-governed infrastructure in academic publishing.
Arohi, thank you so much for breaking down these important stories for us today.
My pleasure.
Before we sign off, here's a surprising fun fact for you. The concept of a computer bug originates not from a software glitch, but from a real moth found lodged in a relay of the Harvard Mark II computer in 1947 by computing pioneer Grace Hopper. That actual moth was taped into the logbook, giving us the term we still use today for programming errors. And that's our tech news briefing for today. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more essential tech updates. Until then, have a great day.